ngā mihi o te pō, nau mai hari mai, ki tēnei wāhanga o te reo 101. Ko Katrina Batten tēnei, and I'd like to welcome to the studio Eru Redekura, who is our Te Manu Korehi bulletin reader and all things Māori expert around our building, and we go to him for pretty much everything. And he's going to be joining us for the next 3 weeks to look at improving our pronunciation in general throughout the country of te reo Māori. Welcome along, Eru.
Tēnā koe, Katrina. Hoi anō, tēnā koutou katoa. Huri no te motu, ki tēnei tauhau, 2023. Welcome along. It's the new year now, 2013. I can't believe it. Here we are in the new year. Thank you for allowing me to be a guest on Summer Nights and to this new segment called Te Reo 101.
So, Eru, you did not speak from the cradle te reo Māori. So, tell us a little bit about your background.
That's very true, Katrina. I'm not really a native speaker of te reo, and I always admit this to, you know, friends who ask me, because they realise that I do have a certain level of fluency. So when I was growing up, mum and dad used certain words around the house. They used Māori words for, you know, parts of the body, going to the toilets and stuff like that. And I found out at the age of 5, when I went to primary school, I asked the teacher, and I'm not going to be rude about this, but when I asked the teacher, I need to go to the toilet because I want to have a mimi. In other words, I wanted to go for a wee. And she looked at me, she goes, "Excuse me, what did you say?" I said, "Well, I want to go for a mimi." And she goes, "Well, you're meant to say, I want to go for a wee." And so that was my first kind of experience, negative experience of using te reo as a 5-year-old. And I get it, I guess pretty much from there, it kind of made me feel that, you know, te reo back when I was in Prima 1 in 1980 wasn't acceptable, but now times have changed. And eventually I was asked to be like a speaker for any groups that would come on that would be welcome to the school. My job was to give them a Māori greeting. They realised that I had the ability to pronounce Māori words correctly, and I had a passion for it at a very young age. So from the age of 10 onwards, I was welcoming students from other schools from out throughout New Zealand who would visit Aranui Primary School in Whanganui to school. And then eventually I went on to learn it as a subject at secondary school and learnt it proper. And so I learnt out of the textbook. And also I had the backup from Kaumātua that I used to spend time with, and they used to give me the idioms of the language and how to speak it conversationally.
Were you taken onto marae as a wee boy as well? Did that, your parents' background kind of help you to immerse you in it?
Yeah, I had some marae experiences, especially when my grandparents passed away. And at that stage, my granddads had both passed away, so it was for my grandmothers. But yeah, I was pretty unfamiliar with the language at the age of 4 and 5, but it did give me that early experience to be comfortable on a marae setting. So when I got to secondary school, that's when it became more of an immersion kind of environment, where I took the language in and learnt it as a tool, I guess, and recognised. Actually, at the age of 10 as well, I had Samoan neighbours. They were speaking Samoan all the time. And I thought, well, why can't I speak my own language? And my parents' attitude was that they didn't want to teach us te reo. They didn't have much knowledge of it too, because my grandparents were punished for speaking it. So they didn't want my parents to be punished at school or to be looked upon as being people who were, I guess, illiterate or didn't know how to speak English properly. So English was enforced in their household. And so, unfortunately, those attitudes came through for my parents. My mum didn't want me to learn Māori as a fourth form subject, and she tried to encourage me not to take it. And so it was my Māori teacher at St. Augustine's College who came along, visited our house. He was a Pākehā priest, and he said, "Look, Eru's really passionate about learning te reo, and I'd like him to take Māori as a fourth form subject as one of his options." So my parents actually agreed.
Why didn't your mum want you to learn it?
Because she thought there was going to be no place for it, you know, in my future. She wanted me just to, you know, just to learn all my other academic subjects, and because she felt that it had no relevance. And then, of course, her attitude changed when she saw that I became quite I did quite well in it at school and won lots of awards, lots of oratory awards as well, which boosted my confidence. And then at the age of 15, I was involved with the first Māori radio station in Whanganui, Te Reo Irirangi o Whanganui, and that's where I really started to use the language on air and in a broadcast situation.
So when we are looking at basic language skills, which I think that all New Zealanders need, if you're born in this country or you come to live in this country, Māori is everywhere. It surrounds us because a lot of our place names, the things that we do now, Māori is incorporated into our general everyday language. So we're going to look at the basic vowel sounds and consonants just to give people an idea and maybe just to explain why it's like that and similarities to other languages. Māori's not by itself in the way that it pronounces things. And we're going to just give you a little bit of a practice. Our next two chats on Te Reo 101, we're going to be looking at protocol to look at words that we possibly use but we don't know maybe what they are, and look at a wider aspect of using Māori and how Māori culture is used in our language. And then we're going to maybe set people a task of getting to know maybe the national anthem properly, figure out how to say it properly. And so by the end of Summer Nights, we should hopefully have Summer Nights listeners all gunning for it and being able to speak Te Reo properly, or at least give it a go, a really good go. That's our aim here, isn't it?
That's right. And it's not, Te Reo 101 isn't designed to have you actually speaking the language conversationally, but just to get your tongue around it. And if you've already had experience learning Japanese, any Romance languages like French, Italian, Portuguese, any of those languages, that will actually give you some good grounding into pronouncing the Māori words.
Great. Okay, so let's start with vowel sounds first.
There are five vowel sounds in Māori. They are A, E, I, O, and U. In English, you'd say them as A, E, I, O, and U. And there are two ways of pronouncing vowel sounds. We have short and long vowels. It's really important to understand the difference between long and short vowels because it can change the meaning of a word.
Right.
For example, the word keke and keke, okay? So keke is the transliteration for cake, while keke, note the long vowels there, keke means armpits. So you don't want to be saying to somebody, you know, give me a piece of your armpits. When you mean give me a piece of cake.
And that's usually written, so we would recognise the longer vowel sounds with a macron written over the top.
That's right. So a macron is one of those long lines you see above a vowel sound. Some tribes, like in Waikato, they spell them with a double vowel. So you'll see. So it's K-E-K-E with the macron over the top for armpits, ke-ke. And ke-ke is just spelt with no line above the top of the vowel.
So ke-ke. K-E-K-E. Yeah.
That's right.
So we've got a, e, I, o, u.
That's right. So I'll say those vowels again, and I want everybody to have a go at practicing them too. So we'll go for the short vowels first. A, e, I, o, and u. And the long vowels, a, e, I, o, and u.
Now we've got consonants.
There are only 10 consonants in the Māori language, and those letters are H, K, M, N, Ng, which is spelled N-G. It's actually one letter in Te Reo. P, R, T, W, and F, or H, which is spelled W-H. So the H sound in Māori is pretty much the same as how you pronounce it in English, as in H. K is the same. M and N are the same. NG, however, becomes difficult, especially for English speakers, if it's at the beginning of a word. For example, Mount ngauru hoi. So just think of the ng sound as in words that end with ing, as in singing, praying, jumping, all those, or that sound does exist in the English language, so ng. P is not as explosive as it is in English. The R sound is not a full-on R sound as in Spanish, but it's a slight lilt, so it's just R, R. T is also almost pronounced as a D sound. In the Bay of Plenty area, it's pronounced more like a CH sound. And W is the same, and WH is a very interesting one because in my dialect, it becomes a softer WH sound. But just so that things aren't so complicated, if you see a WH sound, it's pronounced as F. So Whakatane, Whangarei, and if you want to, Whanganui. But my preference is to say Whanganui.
What are the dialect differences around the country then for the language, especially when you get words like, as far as I know, runanga in the north and runaka in the south? I don't know if that's terribly common with the different islands there, and that will be an iwi, maybe an iwi-based thing. But can you just explain where the dialects come from and what we would expect to hear?
There are a few, there are many dialects, but the ones that really stand out because they sound so different are the South Island dialect, the Ngaitahu dialect. So you're right, the NG sound becomes a K sound in the South Island. Mm-hmm. So for example, everybody's familiar with Aoraki Mount Cook. So you notice there it's got the K sound in there. For North Island speakers, that word will become, Aoraki would become Aorangi.
Oh, I never knew that.
And also similarly with Runanga in the North Island becomes Runaka in the South Island. So sometimes you'll hear Ngaitahu pronounced as Kaitahu. That's also very, very common as well. But it's probably up to you. If you've been raised in the South Island and you feel more closer to wanting to sound like a South Island Māori, there's no harm in adopting the South Island dialect. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of us, I guess it's a preferential thing. So, and the other dialect that really stands out is the Tūhoe dialect. Now, the NG sound becomes just a N sound. So instead of tangata, which means person, becomes tanata. And that's probably more easier for English language speakers to actually use the Tūhoe dialect if they wanted to. Mm. So that's the only main difference with the Tūhoe dialect. There are other sort of differences in the far north, where whare becomes whare or hare. Sometimes you'll hear the mana party leader, Hone Haruira, saying instead of whakarongo mai, becomes hakarongo mai. So the W is dropped.
With words, I mean, Hone Haruira is a great example. Probably most English speakers I know would say Hone, whereas you and I, because we're trying to say the language, or you do say the language properly and I'm trying to say the language properly, would say Hone, and we're going back to our basic vowel sounds, a, e, e, or Hone. So that's why we would say Hone, not Honey, or
that's
anything
right.
like that.
That's right. So, and also, the vowel sounds never change in the Māori language. They're all consistent, unlike in English, where the vowels aren't always the same with certain words. So that also makes the language very easy to learn and to say. So, yeah, so let's look at the word hone. So you've got h, o, n, and e. So the vowel sound e is pronounced as in the English word egg or Ted, so never A. So that's where I hear people saying te, like hone, which probably comes from other European languages, but e is always e as an egg or Ted. The other dialect too, which is different from the rest, is my dialect in the Whanganui Taranaki area, where the H sound is aspirated. In other words, it's dropped, similar to Cockney English. So haere mai becomes aere mai, and mihi becomes mi'i, and instead of whanganui, it becomes either whanganui or whanganui.
We also hear that with Tariana Turia will often say she's probably the most high-profile politician from the Whanganui area, and you'll hear her say, where most other people might say Porphyry, she will be saying Porphyry.
That's right,
and Porphyry. That's the same type of, or Porphyry.
That's right. And you'll also hear, instead of her saying whānau, she'll say whānau.
Whānau, that's right.
And you'll hear that a lot when she speaks about whānau ora. So just think, oh, she's speaking about whānau ora.
Right. Let's now look at a couple of places that we probably as New Zealanders constantly get wrong. And a really nice, simple place to start is the place in the middle of the North Island called Taupō. Now, I've had many arguments with lots of people over a long time about how we say Taupō. Can we just explain the AU and why that suddenly becomes something completely different?
That's right. So when you combine two vowels together in Māori, you run them together. So you've got T, and then you've got A and U. So A and U together become O. A, U, O.
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 So in pidgin phonetics, I'd write that as O-H, mm-hmm. as an O. Oh dear, oh my God, or something like that. Mm. And then you've got the or sound at the end of it, which is, so you've got T, A, U, To, P, or Po, and there's a macron over the O. And I've noticed that more and more signs around the country, they're now putting the macron on Taupō as you head along State Highway 1. It gives you how many kilometres away you are from Taupō with the macron over the top.
Which is being very correct about how it should be said, as well as just the normal spelling of the word anyway.
So if you want to get a visual idea of how to say Taupō, then think of the word toe, as in your toe, and the word paw. So if you write that down and you keep on practicing that, then you're going to be saying it correctly.
So toe as in your toe on your foot, and paw like as a cat's paw or a dog's paw, something
That's
like
right.
that, P-A-W, maybe like that. That might help you. Now, toe, we hear that in words like tauranga as
That's
well.
That's right, tauranga, tauhinari.
Tauhinari, matauranga.
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 Yes.
Those kinds of words, and it's that toe sound.
That's right.
Yeah.
So A-U is always O.
In a word also like tauranga, we have a tendency to, with words like whangarei, to onga it. So it ends up being whangarei with a hard G. We hear a lot of people doing that. Tauranga.
Tauranga.
Tauranga. Tauranga. What is with the A-N-G-A sound? We need to keep that as an A sound. Why are we turning it into an O sound, do you think?
I guess it's because, probably it might be easier for people to say, but I think it's just one of those things that's ingrained in New Zealanders to say words like that.
Mm.
I mean, admittedly, when I was growing up, before I started learning Māori properly as a subject, I thought te kuiti was te kuiri, and taumarunui was just taumarunui.
Mm.
So I guess it's all about trying to have an open mind to wanting to learn the language and say it properly. I think it's just based on attitude as well. And, I mean, there's other examples too where words have become bastardised. Like, for example, here in Wellington, there's Petone. And so, actually, it is the right way to actually say it because it's not actually written as a Māori word. But the original name for Petone is Te Pito One. Pito One. So when the settlers first arrived here, and a lot of settlers were illiterate, they actually wrote it the way they could get their tongue around it. So it became Petone instead of Pito One.
So there are lots of words. We go back to our vowel sounds. We've got our consonant sounds. We've got our double. We've got a couple of double consonants in there. And we've got our mixture of vowels together. And I think over the next week, we should get the listeners to practice. And it's really easy. All you do is maybe look at a map of New Zealand and just practice the the Māori place names on there and maybe go through lists of names of people you know maybe that are Māori and practice and practice and practice. It's all about just getting those sounds right, isn't it?
That's right. And I think the vowels on themselves are probably easier, but what we'll do over the next few weeks is explain how those diphthongs work. And we'll give you some exercises on how to get your tongue around that.